We're so grateful for Pastor Zach. He has an amazing, amazing message for us today. And so, Zach, dude, you got this. Take it away. Yeah. You're going to rock it.
Hey, I just wanted to, before I preach, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Poi. Poi is in our audience. Can you raise your hand over there, Poi? Woo! So coming back from Hawaii, we sold a lot of stuff, gave a lot of stuff away. So we had 13 surfboards, and we sold them or gave them all away. Because it's like, what are you going to do with Hawaii boards in California? So I just wanted to give a big shout out because Poi just shaped this. I thought today was going to be good because I got to be at the front of the stage. But then he's like, dude, I brought the board. So I just wanted to show you all how awesome we have a master craftsman in our congregation. So I just wanted to give you a little shout out and say thank you very much. Very cool. I'm stoked. I feel like I'm officially planted back in Huntington. Got that Euler Huntington orange. You know what I'm saying? Cool. All right. Well, Andre, don't forget I'll have that table come out too. Cool. So excited to be here. It is a good day. I was thinking, you know what? Pastor Paul, let me come in. This is cool. I'm going to speak today. I don't know why I did this, but I started looking up like statistics on Super Bowl Sunday church fun facts. And then I learned this is like one of the seven deadly Sundays to teach or preach. I was like, Pastor Paul set me up, that guy. But it's like the day after Easter, or the week after Easter, the week after New Year's, and Super Bowl Sunday was like top three deadliest Sundays to like teach. I was like, great. But you know what? I'm excited because I like exciting, adventurous, deadly stuff. So I'm going to just take this and run with it, okay? So, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be a good one. And even if I blow it or forget, you know what? You're probably not going to remember because you got games and parties and commercials. And normally, you would probably remember all my points. You would remember the version that I'm teaching out of. And you would be able to critique anything I said or the words I said too many times or if I fidgeted with my wallet or whatever, you know. So I'm excited for today because I get a little bit of a cushion to operate in. But, you know, speaking of failures or little mishaps. Today's teaching, I call it teaching because I don't really consider myself a preacher. I like to teach. So I'm going to jam stuff down here today. So I want you to take notes on your phone with your pen or pencil. If you don't have one, write on your bulletin. I like that. That's what I've been raised in and operated in the last 10, 11 years, teaching stuff. So I want you to write and learn and apply today, okay? So today's title is called Making a Difference When People Fail, okay? And as I was preparing, I asked my wife, you know, I got to share a story about, it's good to share, I wanted to show a video on like fails of 2018, but they're all like so brutal, like people just like breaking their bodies off of slides or waves, and I was like, they're not going to be into that, maybe it'll be like too much. So I'll just share a fun story. And I asked my wife, what would be like a fun story I could share, you know, like a fail? She's like, well, the first thing that comes to mind. And I was like, what? Like the first, like you got a list running on me? And she's like, yeah, well, the first one that comes to mind. And I was like, okay, let's share which one you want me to share. So I was, you know, in the transition, getting back here, you know, lots of stuff has to take place. As you guys know, big moves, a lot of stuff happens. So I was on my way to France to go to a conference, and I had like a two-day layover here. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to multitask. We got a lot of stuff to do to get here. My mom had an extra bed, and it was like Taco Max, like the bed. You couldn't like roll out of the bed. You just rolled back in the middle. There's springs, and I was like, I'm going to try and get us a new bed maybe. So it's just like one less thing to do. We can sleep comfortable, even though we've had like a lot of stuff to do, right? So I'm thinking I'll do that. My grandma comes up for the day just to kind of tag along with me and maybe make the bed shopping experience less painful. You don't do that very often, you know? So we go looking for some mattresses, and I'm excited. I walk into the first store. There's a guy I used to surf with for a long time. So he's like the manager. I'm like, yes, this is it. He hooks me up with a huge deal. He's pulling out little cards left and right on how to like lower the price. So I get a great mattress, amazing price. And right before we purchase it, I ask my grandma, I'm like, you know, you think I should ask give Karis a call real quick. She's like, no way, just be the man and get the bed and let's get out of here. So I'm like, okay, grandma's telling me just do this. So I'm just going to do what grandma says. So we get the bed, gets delivered, set up. I'm like standing at the end after. I'm like, man, I just, husband of the year. I'm multitasking in between my layover. Like, this is good, you know? And I go to the airport and catch up with Karis. I'm like, hey, guess what? I got us a new bed. And she's like, what? You got us a new mattress? I was like, yeah, it was a great deal. My friend hooked me up. She's like, can you take it back? And I was like, no, they took the old one away. Like, she's like, why would you do that? And I was like, I thought you were going to be stoked. She's like, are you joking me right now? And I was like, no, I'm super serious. She's like, we are supposed to talk about stuff that's not on the budget. Fail. So it was like an hour of like conversating, like even like a couple days later, she's like, send me a text while I'm in France. I can't believe you did that. I'm like, man, it was just a mattress. But that was the first one she said, oh, that's one at the top right there. Cause I think just cause it's recent. So anyways, we're talking about when people fail, I fail, you fail. We all fail sometimes. It can be in different ways. Simple, funny things like mattresses or big, heavy things, right? So we're going to dive into one scripture today and just tear it apart and marinate it and backstroke in it. And it's just like, this is where we're going to rest, okay? So Galatians 6:1, okay? So if you have a phone or a Bible, you can turn there. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch of yourself in case you too be tempted. Other versions might say brothers and sisters or anyone or people. But I love this. I love this. So preparing for making a difference. And I thought, like, how do we make a difference when people fail, you know? And this scripture was one that I chose. So let me read it one more time. Brothers, or brothers and sisters, or anyone. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself in case you too will be tempted. So I'm going to give you three keys of making a difference when people fail, okay? So the realization of the situation. That's my first point, okay? The realization of the situation. So on your bulletin, I didn't give you any real notes except for the 3 points because, again, I want you to interact and write and use your brain and pencil and pen and iPhone. So I don't want to give any freebies out. There's no fill in the blanks. It's like you got to use your brain, okay? So the realization of the situation. So automatically I thought, man, Joshua, okay? If you're not familiar with the book of Joshua, basically he's going into the promised land that Moses didn't get. And he's on a major battle excursion. In chapter 6, he lost his first battle. So he has like 13 battles, I think, and he only lost one. And that was in chapter 6. And it was supposed to be an easy win. It was a battle of Ai, right? Or some of you might pronounce I. But he got reports back like, oh, yeah, just send a couple, you know, a couple hundred. It's going to be easy. We're going to smoke these guys. And they got their butts kicked. Not only because he didn't really converse with the Lord on it, but also because one of his guys blew it and failed and sinned and didn't obey. Okay? So in chapter 7, it talks about that failure or that realization of that failure, that situation. And that was because the guy Achan didn't obey. He sinned. Okay? And with that, I was thinking, man, like, a lot of stuff came out of that when he sinned. One, a lot of people died or maybe got hurt. Two, the nation melted with fear. So they're like, they're Israel. They're like the ones. And they're not supposed to be scared of anyone. And they're all of a sudden melting with fear. Number three, their leader, Joshua, then started to doubt God. That'd be like us blowing it here, someone, and all of a sudden Pastor Paul's like, you know what? I don't even know if I believe in this stuff anymore. What the heck? That would be a major ripple in our whole community. So the leader started to doubt God. God even threatens to leave. He's like, if you guys don't get your act together, I'm out of here. He didn't say it like that, but that's how my brain interprets it, right? He threatens to leave. Where have you ever even heard that really talked or preached about? Like, no, it's like God will be there. He'll be faithful. I mean, Andre even laid out like 8 of them this morning in the Psalms. All this good stuff. None of them was like, ah, if you blow it, he's going to leave. But he said it himself. He's like, man, I'm out of here. And the last one is Achan and his family were totally executed. So all this is like pretty harsh, pretty blunt, probably not super relevant for today and nice, cozy Huntington Beach. But you know what? All those things are still applicable. So I was thinking, don't be passive. Be proactive. When you're in a situation and you realize stuff is going wrong or there's sin or there's failure or there's, you know, a problem. We need to be okay with identifying the problem or even the transgressor, aka problem maker, even when we're in an oversensitive, easily offendable, politically correct world, right? Otherwise, it's going to cause these same things. You're going to hurt people, maybe relationally, emotionally, maybe physically. You know, your city, your community, your family might melt with fear. You might even yourself as that leader, you know, totally pull 180 and you know, doubt what you're supposed to be leading people in. Of course, there's God threatening to leave. And then, I don't know, I'm pretty sure no one's going to get executed if they make a bad decision nowadays, unless it's really, really bad. But even that's like, man, you would tarnish your family's name. Maybe your work environment gets wrecked. You know, this is heavy what happens when you don't realize the situation and that there's failure or sin. I like Matthew 7:5 says, hypocrite. I don't know what version you have, but that's how mine starts out in the NLT. Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see enough to deal with the speck in your friend's or your neighbor's eye. Right there, realization of the situation. He's like, bro, you got a log in your own eye. You got to handle that. This is one of my wife's favorite quotes. It's by John C. Maxwell. It says, people change when they hurt enough that they have to change, when they learn enough that they want to change, or when they receive enough that they're able to change. Let me read that again. People change when they hurt enough that they have to change, learn enough that they want to change, or receive enough that they're able to change. To me, that's all about realization of the situation. Okay, that's point number one. Realization of the situation. For point number two, I have their friends restore. So I like that restoration section of the scripture. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So friends, restore. Restore in a spirit of gentleness. Some versions say gently or humbly, right? So Proverbs 27:6. Some of you might know this. It says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. I like this scripture because the key word to me there is friend. You can't really restore someone if you're not their friend or have a rapport with them. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to speak the truth with love, and that's what friends are able to do. They can like give you that wound or that cut or that hit or that nudge, but they know that it's good because you're the friend. And that's a restoration process. They'll allow you to actually do stuff like that because they know they can trust you. You know, working back in Surfing the Nations for quite a while, Karis and I got a little reputation for one of the programs we lead. This is leadership training program. And people would sign up and say, I heard you guys are tough. And that's why they signed up. I was like, the tougher we made the program, the more people signed up, whether it was physical challenges that we interlaced with the program or the curriculum or the homework load. So I just said, hey, the tougher we make it, the people want it. You know, that's like you want that selfie mountaintop experience photo, right? On the top of the mountain. But a lot of people don't know how to get to the top of the mountain. But they want that photo. They want that image. So if you want to do it, then you got to give them that tough love. And that's what friends are able to do. So I love that. I love that scripture. And this quote I'll give you is by C.S. Lewis. This quote was spoken around the time when my parents were getting divorced, and it was just so applicable for my life at that time when I was in college. Said this is C.S. Lewis says it best when he says, "The blows of his chisel, which hurt us so much, are what make us perfect." Let me read that again. The blows of his chisel that hurt us so much are what make us perfect. Notice this quote doesn't say the blows of our chisel. That's not what it says. But I think a lot of times we like to be able to give that little knock or that little word or that little probe, and it's not about that. I mean, sometimes certain circumstances call for it, but in general, I like that quote because it doesn't say the blows of our chisel. It's the blows of his chisel. So with that searing chisel and restoration, I started thinking of tools. Maybe because I'm a guy. I don't really know. But then I started thinking chisel, tools, restoration. Okay, you got. So I kind of broke it down in just the two general categories. There's probably many more. But you got tools of demolition and tools of restoration. So I brought some of my favorite tools. Okay? So, tools of demolition. I didn't actually have a sledgehammer, but I have a good framing hammer from my dad. And this is a demolition tool, more or less. I mean, you can do some finished carpentry with this, but this is like we're busting out drywall, we're framing walls, we're breaking stuff up. This is not a finished tool. This is a blunt force item. Either way you look at it, claw side or head side. This is a demolition tool. And some of us don't know it, and some of us know it, but this is actually where we operate in, whether that's at work or home, or maybe not at work, but only at home or something like that, right? So this is one, okay? This one's a Sawzall. This is not a precision cutting machine. It's got a long, flimsy blade. You're not going to get a straight cut, an even cut. This goes through pipe, wood, beams, frames, whatever. This is like we're removing things. This is not what you want to see your dentist pull out. You know what I'm saying? This thing, even just holding it, you're like, ah. You know what I'm saying? This is a demolition tool. Carson, do you see me? One guy in the COTC in the building we built in Hawaii, they were trying to cut like finish the room had been painted, trying to cut can light holes with this thing. I was like, bro, they're like oval and awkward. Okay. So that's a demolition tool. Now I didn't have any acid, but I found some acetone. Okay. Now you could argue this might be a restoration tool, depending on if you know how to use it. But in general, acid or acetone is like pretty gnarly. Like if you pour it, it's gonna like break something down. Whether that's eat through something, wreck something, dry the heck out of your hands, or burn your skin or something like. And some of you guys, including myself, have had times in life where it's like, you just like, you're getting your stuff all over people. And it's painful. Okay? So there's some there's some demolition tools. Okay? On the opposite side, you have a nice, purdy cutting paintbrush. This is kind of a restoration tool. Okay? So you're going to cut lines down seams with this. This is like nice. And it makes me think of, I think it's in 1 Peter where it says, you know, put on love for it covers a multitude of sins. Like just put on some paint, right? It's like paint goes a long way sometimes. Like just fresh coat of paint changes the scene, the vibe, the smell sometimes. Like it just changes the look. Like this is restoration. And that's how some of us need to operate in. And some of us are operating very well in this. Another one is sandpaper or sander. Sandpaper is great. You guys know this. You got tons of different grits. You got heavy grit, fine grit. This will do lots of stuff. Takes the edge off things. You can shape things. You can take the burrs off of metal, sharp stuff. You can polish glass or even finished paint with the right kind of sandpaper. That's a restoration tool. Okay? And finally, my favorite, because I've been a boat car guy for a while, is a good old-fashioned buffer and the right kind of compound. This right here is like game changer. You can polish out bathtubs, boats, cars, bikes. You would be surprised what you can do with this. And people come into our some of our pretty ghetto apartments in the past, and I'm like, yeah, just I actually prefer a wool pad. I'm old school, but now everything is now foam. But the buffer is a great restoration tool. It's not like a Sawzall. It's fine-tuned motor. It doesn't even vibrate in your hands hardly, okay? So it's not the type of tool. It's not like one is good or bad. But if you're only operating in the demolition phase of tools, you're going to be forgetting the restoration process, aka the love of Jesus process. So yeah, he did some demolition. He flipped tables and got angry and stuff like that. But there was always a tool of restoration in that tool belt because he's all about people. He's all about restoration of people. So you got to think about what kind of tool have you been acting like lately? You know, what tool have you been acting like lately? I don't know. That's good, huh? All right, final one. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself in case you too are tempted. Keep watch, okay? Two scriptures here, Proverbs 14:16. Proverbs 14:16. The wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Come on, we're going for it. Proverbs 22:3. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Isn't that kind of crazy? They're going to pay for it. This reminds me of boat deliveries. I, for those of you who don't know, I have my captain's license. I've had it for a little while. I used to work in the yachting industry down in Newport and still help out with deliveries. My last big delivery job was taking a big 115-foot boat from Newport to Florida. It's a month-long trip with three guys through Central America, Panama, Caribbean, Cuba, all that. It was epic. But on that trip, you're on watch every hour, every day. So when everyone's up, it's a little bit more cruise because we're all operating together, but you're still on watch. Someone's still the watch guy. But when it's nighttime, a lot of times, that was a month, and it was pretty much running straight the whole month, like 24/7. Okay, we stopped here and there. But when you're on watch, there's three musts of taking a good watch. This is straight from boat experience to real life experience, okay? One is, do you have the experience, okay? You have a license, you have education, you got the life experience. You got to have experience. If you're going to get put on charge, this isn't like pulling your mom's car into the garage. This is a 115-foot, 300-ton, I think it was a $10 or $9 million boat. This is like, when you're at the wheel, it's like, don't mess up. Like, I can't afford anything on this boat to fix. So, like, don't blow it, right? Number two, do you have the tools? Right? Radar, depth finder, horn, anchor. That's all stuff you use on a watch. What's the tools here? Is it the word? Is it a class? Is it something you do to make sure you're ready? Is it a restoration tool? Is it a demo tool? Right? You got to have the right tools or equipment. And do you have the help? That was an amazing trip, but only because those guys I go with are amazing. That guy who was the main captain flew me out from Hawaii because he's like, yeah, we only want like a tight crew that we trust. One of the nights, we were in the Caribbean after we got through the canal, and we didn't make it to our checkpoint because it was pretty gnarly out, and we were fishing a lot. We get to fish along the way. So And we stayed in the Caribbean in this kind of cove. Oh, it was 40 knots of wind. We'd been running all day. And the boat takes about 6 feet of water. And then under that, we only had about 6 feet until reef. And we couldn't make it. We were shot. And so we said, let's post up here. So we found a dive buoy mooring ball that we tied up to and dropped an anchor because we didn't know if this mooring ball could hold 300 tons of vessel in 40 knots of wind. And so the whole night, all of us, it was only supposed to be, you know, you take a watch for 3 hours and then a couple other guys go and then you rotate. Everyone was on watch. It was like every 20 minutes you're waking up, like looking out the porthole, like, is that palm tree still in the same place? Like, you don't want to wash up on a beach with a $9 million vessel in the middle of nowhere. Technically pirate water. Just like, you look like an idiot. It's not going to go good. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be bad. So that whole night we were on watch. But it works if you got the right help. Okay? So do you have the experience? Do you have the tools? And do you have the help? Super important to take watch. A good watch. Okay? So I want to give you guys a 1 minute takeaway here. Three areas to think about. You can write down. Okay? Maybe just one of them. Maybe all three of them. One, can you be a little more real with God about some actions in your life that maybe haven't been appropriate? It could be words, attitude, physical actions, whatever it may be. Can you be a little bit more real with God about it? Two, can you help restore someone a little more this week? Can you help restore someone specific a little more this week? And number three, what's one way you can create a better watch system for something tempting in your life? Is that a lock and key? Is that a code? Is that software? Is that a speed limit alarm? I don't really know what it is. But you got to create a system for a good watch. I love this stuff. I was amping on this teaching because it's just so simple but so good. Okay? So realization of the situation, friends restore, and keep watch. Those are the three ways out of this scripture that you'll be able to help people when they fail and make a difference in their life. Or maybe someone will do it in your life when you fail. So let me pray for you guys today, and we will dismiss. Lord, just thank you for righteousness. We pray for more righteousness, a spirit, an attitude of righteousness over this group of people, that they would just want to do good, that they would realize the situation and fight for righteousness, Lord. We pray for a restoration spirit, that this group of people would want to polish and smooth and shape and love people. And Lord, we pray for the ability to stay on watch. We are cluttered with things every day, multitasking to the max. And a lot of times we forget to watch our side, our back, our front, or even our neighbors. So we pray for a watch that would just be so protective over our family units, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors. Literally, we pray for a watch system, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for Super Bowl Sunday. Thank you for the Rams. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the Patriots. So I'd love for you guys to enjoy some fellowship in the fellowship hall. There's donuts and coffee there. Again, if you're new, you can bring that Connect card. Stoked you guys are here. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for letting me fill in the gaps on one of the seven deadly Sundays. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.